That's the theme for this week, an oldie but a goodie, a throwback to Taylor Hawkins, Foo Fighters. There Goes My Hero. That's definitely the song. If you're a Red Bull fan, Ferrari fan, or if you're the biggest nut hugger of George Russell there is sitting in front of me, There Goes My Hero is definitely the theme for this week.
Dude, that was awesome. So, a few things, right? I thought going into a midnight race, a 1 a.m. race, I thought that'd be way better than 6 a.m. I have had to rewatch everything because I was absolutely blitzed. I had to check my Twitter to make sure I hadn't said anything dumb. I hadn't, but I had accidentally sent and retweet my own tweet 3 times that just said, Georgie! Georgie!
There's levels to drunkenness. Some of us almost get arrested at WrestleMania and say our dickhole's going to hit home runs. Others of us just start yelling Georgie the whole time. And I cannot say it wasn't annoying, because it fucking was. But yeah, you were definitely on another level.
It was phenomenal. I mean, we'll talk about him later, but watching him the start of the year and then getting first podium with Mercedes, I've been getting shit on by everybody on the tweet machine, and he's gone toe-to-toe with 8-time world champion. He's second in the driver's champion in the 5th-best car at best. I'm fucking pumped. It looks like I made a better choice than some people who maybe root for a little Carlos Sainz guy.
No comment. What the fuck are we going to talk about today?
So we'll talk sponsor, jump into race news. We do have Toto Wolff joining us. We'll talk a little bit why he wasn't with us last week and how we're going to do that moving forward. Then run into our race recap, including our bottom feeders and our top dogs.
Yeah, so speaking of sponsors, this week is brought to you by the Nigel Mansell Grooming Kit. If you love a good mustache ride and you have a mustache, you're going to want to order the Nigel Mansell Grooming Kit. In honor of the racer I most likely would have rooted for back in the 90s, shout out to Beyond the Grid and an amazing podcast with him. If you're new to the F1 or if you never watched it back in the 90s, throw his name into the Google machine, and what a miraculous career. The only guy to go from F1 into Indy and win a championship.
In back-to-back years.
Exactly.
Back-to-back years. Yeah, that was a phenomenal job by Beyond the Grid podcast. I think, you know, the craziest thing about that is they were trying to screw him out of his seat in 92, I think.
92.
Trying to screw him out of his seat. He goes and wins the world championship. And they tell him he wins the world championship with 5 races left. And Sir Frank Williams says, nah, you ain't got to drive next year, bud. Sorry. Unless you want to take half of what we paid you this year. Jumps over to Indy, like you said, and wins the world championship in year one.
Amazing career. Also want to touch on something. So how do you like threesomes?
I mean, we had a pretty good threesome last week.
That was my first threesome, and it was between three guys, including myself. That was fun.
It was, man. Shout out again to Lucas for joining us last week. Shout out to the Houston F1 group again. You know, we've talked. That went so well. We got such good feedback between myself and Steve over here. We had talked about maybe having Lucas on full time if he'd be interested. So if he's listening and he's interested, reach out to us. If you're not listening, go fuck yourself.
Well, it's funny. My wife and your girlfriend both said it was the best episode, and that happened to be the episode I talked the least, so I don't know what the fuck that means for my career here.
I could tell you, but you wouldn't like it.
Am I about to get massied?
Yeah, right. Ousted. No, I also want to talk a little bit just quickly about last week and really this season. We've had phenomenal interest, phenomenal listens. Our views are up. Tons. We might even get a real sponsor based on some of the feedback we're getting. So thank you to everybody out there listening. We appreciate it. We're two idiots who just love the sport and have fun drinking beers and talking about it. But I guess on that note, you know what we haven't done? We haven't congratulated ourselves. So cheers.
Cheers.
To us whooping ass not having a clue what the fuck we're doing. I guess anything else before we sort of jump into race news for this week that you wanted to touch on?
I think we have a new segment for noobs. Are you a newbie? Take slapping my pole sitter. Are you a noob? I don't know why I keep doing weird segues like that, but yeah.
No, that's a good point. So when we originally started this, right, one of the things we were looking to do is obviously growth in the U.S. has been huge for this sport. There's a lot of new fans. And so we did either history lessons or term of the week. And so we're going to sort of rebrand that as noobs and just sort of give a little piece of information that if you've been following the sport, you'll know exactly what the hell we're talking about. We'll keep it short, but if you're new to the sport, it'll be something new, hopefully that provides a bit of insight into this sport for you. So for noobs this week, we'll hit two birds with one stone here. We'll go with pole sitter. Obviously, if you're searching for us, right, it's TSP and F1 podcast, but what that stands for is the tank slapping pole sitters. So tank slapping, that's basically when you almost lose control and you save the car, right? Imagine the gasoline slapping the side of the tank. Pole sitter, it's not because my buddy over here, Skidmark, enjoys sitting on poles. Pole sitter.
Only your pole.
Jesus. Pole sitter is, and this is why your career is dwindling in the podcast world.
It just started.
Pole sitter is the guy who is in first position when the race starts. So, hence our name, the tank slapping pole sitters. We could talk about race news. There was quite a bit this week.
Yeah, a lot of sound bites, a lot of things that might have implications on the future. I'll start off with one. So, Toto came out with a sound bite about Massey, basically saying he was a liability to the sport. And he got some criticism, but I don't understand why, because when the race director becomes more important than the race itself and it's synonymous with the race, that means something fucked up happened. What did you expect to happen, people? He got it ousted, just like my career here at the Tank Slapping Pole Sitters podcast is going, fuck you, Lucas. All love, really. But yeah, it basically said the honest truth and kind of got ran over the coals for it.
So it's funny, right? One of the things he did say, and this sort of ties into something else that happened this week, they came out and they've had a rule about piercings, right, forever. You're not allowed to have any piercings in. And Toto actually came out and he said, I forget the guy's name. It's Wittish or something like that, the new race director. And he basically came out and he said, if this is the only thing we're talking about this guy for, I'm cool with it. I will take a guy making a big deal out of piercings, which is in the rules, over a guy subjectively choosing when to and how to apply the rules.
I will take it, even if it's a subtle jab at Lewis. Obviously, not even a subtle, it's a slap in the face, but I will take it, even if it's a pretty brutal, not brutal, that's not the word, but we know who it's targeting, put it that way.
Do you think maybe it was like his last shot? Maybe he was buddies with Massey. He's like, I got you, buddy. I'll get you one little one in here.
Well, speaking of little ones, you're going to have to take out that nipple ring, Verstappen. I did not know you were into that. So maybe we have to do a new segment about Verstappen being into BDSM with Ricardo. Not with Ricardo, but like Ricardo. Or maybe he's just into nipple play.
That was actually, I enjoyed that. That was good. If you don't know what he's talking about, when they were asking Lewis about the nipple piercing, or Jesus Christ, when they were asking him about piercings, they all sort of joked around. It was him, I think Verstappen and Leclerc maybe that were up there. And Lewis chimed in and said, I got piercings you don't know about, you can't see, that can't come out, sort of hinting at maybe a nice little Prince Albert. And then Verstappen said something about his nipple piercings and asked if Lewis would like to see them again. But it was cool to see them all having fun, joking around. Haven't seen that really since things got heated towards the end of last year.
It's refreshing, especially since we don't have all the drama, because that was almost unbearable towards the last 5 weeks of the year with between Lewis Twitter and Verstappen Twitter, which we've touched on last week. But yeah, and other news, back to interesting sound bites. Helmut Marko, our favorite person on this podcast, the Evil Emperor, basically said that they're going to have to figure out some way to keep Gasly towards the end of the year. And I'm thinking, well, what does that mean for Checo? Because if they can't keep Gasly, if they can't promote him or figure out a way to keep him, we go somewhere else. So I'm going to ping this off to you, No Rubber. If you're in this situation and the way Checo's driving, do you keep him?
You absolutely have to keep him. I mean, look how instrumental he was in the championship last year, all right, especially towards the last couple of races. This year, he's off to an absolutely fantastic start.
He saved him. If you're a Red Bull fan, There Goes My Hero song applies to Checo this last week.
Yeah, fourth in the driver's standings. He's above Max. Fourth in the driver's standings. I don't know. I think Marco just talks out of his ass sometimes. Like, yeah, honestly, you'd like to keep Gasly. Fuck. Maybe they just put him in the other Williams. It looks like they pretty much fucking own Williams at this point between Latifi and Albon.
Yeah, we'll allude to something about that a little bit later. But yeah, interesting situation there, because Marco seems to be the de facto leader of Red Bull, even though Horner is the, he's more of a ginger lover. He's not really more of a
Netflix star.
Netflix star.
Netflix star, part-time prince.
Yeah. What do you got for some other news?
Big safety car change. Another thing that's sort of driven by Max Verstappen. You will have seen any time the safety car restarts and Max is in second behind the leader, he sneaks up to right next to the leader, right? Almost in front of him at times. That was one of the other things from Abu Dhabi. I think he did it last week or the week before as well to Leclerc. It was just fuckery. I mean, that's my maybe.
Whoa. I think you're done cussing.
I think fuckery is acceptable. Fuck is not.
I'll allow it.
Okay, yeah, because fuckery is basically the Red Bull strategy.
Yeah, fuckery is what me and you do in the bedroom together.
You got to stop pushing this whole you and me. But the fuckery of this back and forth. So they've said basically the car behind you cannot pull up and have any part of their car next to you, which is honestly a welcome. For me, I welcome it. What do you think?
From a viewer standpoint, I always want to reach into the car and punch Verstappen when he does it. So it will lower my anger during the race. But yes.
Does it also lower your entertainment value, right? Like if you take yourself out of a hatred for Max, I've heard some people say they like it. They get a good laugh out of when he does it. He seems to be the only one who does it. I think it probably is a bit dangerous. But I could see how if it was maybe Lewis doing it to Max, I might enjoy it a little bit.
For me, as long as there's not a competitive advantage from it, is there?
There's got to be some, right? You're in the, well, I think the rules made more from a safety standpoint of like that car's got to know sort of where you are when they take off from the line. Then also imagine if it goes all the way down the grid. You just have them lined up sort of side by side, not one in front of the other.
Exactly.
It definitely, if it extrapolated beyond just first and second and went down the grid, you'd probably have some major problem.
I don't think anybody does a restart better than Max Verstappen. He almost got Leclerc. We'll talk about it on the race recap, but that man knows how to carve and get in people's heads better than anybody I've seen on a track in the last 10 years.
I agree with you. He fucks with people. I mean, that's the whole mental game, right? That's what he's doing when he's up next to somebody at the restart of it. I was glad to see that. Other thing on the safety car, another funny moment between three drivers. You had George Russell, Max, and Leclerc, I believe. We're up on the podium, and Max, as usual, had been bitching and moaning. This time it was about the safety car, the Aston Martin safety car going too slow. George pitched in. He goes, well, you make it a Mercedes, you get 5 extra seconds. And then Leclerc's sitting there, who just stomped everybody this weekend. Fastest car by a mile. He goes, well, you make it a Ferrari engine, you get an extra 5 seconds. So it's good to see the banter's back. These guys are having fun. It's making things enjoyable again. Sort of takes you out of the stress from last year. So I'm all about it.
That segues into another George Russell moment and probably my favorite so far as him as a Mercedes driver. There's nobody that's more well-rounded, more polished. He could be the fucking prime minister at this point because they have the slumpy, dumpy Trump over there right now. Probably want to delete that because we don't want to get into politics, but there's nobody more well-rounded and polished than George Russell, in my opinion, as a young rising star. But he had a little to-do with Christian Horner this week when Horner says, I'd rather fix a fast car than make a slow and reliable one fast. Which Russell replied back, it doesn't matter how fast your car is if you don't make it until the end. What say you to that?
I mean, he's spot on, right? We had this talk earlier, right? Like, you'd almost... Yeah, and we didn't know which way, and of course, both teams are going to play it, you know, in their current situation. But I tend to agree. You'd rather have a car that you can bring some upgrades, get some speed out of, than one you're constantly meddling around with and trying to fix current issues, right? In terms of reliability, you would imagine, right? If you've got reliability issues, the more new components or upgrades you add, the trickier you're making that problem to solve from a reliability standpoint. Anything else race news, man?
Man, I just had a brain fart there. I was just thinking about the wisdom that you just dropped on my head. And my brain couldn't compute because we know I'm working with like a third grade reading level over here above the second grade level that we talked about 2 weeks ago. So fuck you all, you assholes that said that I couldn't read real good. Good, well, I can read. just going back to the fact that we are an anti-Russian
Yeah,
podcast.
I'm so glad you're bringing this up because I was going to state we are anti-Russian. I want to say before you even go in with this piece of news here, we are keeping the Nikita Mazepin Award, the Nikita Mazepin Award for Worst Driver of the Year. We will not change the name. We do not care how much pressure we get. Now go ahead with the next bit of fuckery coming out of Russia.
So I'm going to lead off with one. And this is, his name is Artem Savrishchev, fuck you Russian last name. He's a 15-year-old driver that won his karting race in the European Championships. And during the celebration, he threw out an old Hail Hitler. Probably not the right time to do that. He's now been sacked and he's no longer a part of the European Karting Championships. That one is the one I was leading towards.
So, well, hold on there. Can I just, hoping that I don't get us canceled by saying this, if you're a Russian with nothing to lose, because you know you're not going anywhere right now in the current climate, even if you're the best karter in the world, why not throw a nice little fuck you to everybody on your way out?
Well, here's the thing. When your leader justifies a war by saying that they're attacking a Nazi-friendly country, and you are a Russian throwing up the old Hell Hitler.
Well, agreed. It's completely horrible, completely.
I think it goes against the whole propaganda of Putin. I'm not going to sit here and...
I was thinking it could be from, like, maybe he was trying to ingratiate himself with Hitler. I mean, sorry, with Putin.
Putin doesn't like Nazis, even though he's acting like one. That's what I've gathered over the last month and a half.
Way too political. Let's move on. But either way, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Even though he's 15, fuck him. That's weird.
We'll move on. Yeah. I think people get it.
Yep. And just keeping with amazing drivers, there's this guy named Nikita Mazepin that you alluded to earlier.
Yes, he won our award for Worst Driver of the Year last year, which was an award named after him.
Well, to make things better for his life, after getting kicked out of his seat this year, he's also had over $100 million worth of property seized by the Italian authorities. So go Italy. You're really making up for the whole World War II side you chose. So
banner year for Italy. Ferrari pulling out the Mazepin money from underneath him. Yeah, it is funny, right? Mazepin came out and he's like, I don't know why I'm being sanctioned with my dad. Well, because you got $100 million worth of dirty assets sitting underneath your name, kid.
Yeah, and your dad's a fucking oligarch. So that's enough for political news. When you need to turn to the political environment, always turn into the Tank Slap and Pulsator podcast.
Yeah, that's risky. We'll see how that lands with people. We went deep there. I almost encouraged a Hail Hitler, I think, at one point, or didn't encourage.
Yeah, let's not say encourage. We established back in 2021 that we are an anti-Nazi podcast as well. So definitely don't want to give that illusion that you're not.
No, 100%.
That you're not a Nazi. We hate Nazis.
There you go. We hate Nazis. We're anti-Russian. We are not getting rid of the Nikita Mazepin Award for Worst Driver. Political segment done. Political segment done.
What a shit show that is.
Are we done with racism, bro? This is getting dangerous.
No shit, man. Yeah, I'm done with the fucking news.
All right. So we are, before we jump into our race recap here, we have a guy who joins us quite often on this podcast, Toto Wolff, the team principal for Mercedes. He did not join us last week. He ditched out on us 1 week earlier in the season, so I had to have a nice heart-to-heart with him. He is going to be joining us moving forward only after races. He basically said, one, he's too busy. Two, nobody gives a shit about what they're doing in between races. And three, it's much easier to shit on the horn dog after a race event. So we'll jump over to Toto now. He actually, for the first time ever, we both heard what he said before we recorded the podcast. Anything that stuck out to you about what he says here?
It's just good to have him back.
I think Baby Boy, we have a new nickname.
Baby Boy?
Baby Boy Leclerc.
I like it.
Baby Boy Charles Leclerc, as Toto calls him. So we'll jump over to that now, let you guys have a listen.
So guys, lots of positive news. If you've seen since the last time we spoke, the team managed to get a great haul of points in Melbourne. We're hugely thrilled with that. Outstanding race for us, despite being light years behind the pace we're looking for. Gives us an opportunity not to fall backwards during this period of testing, obviously, where we're still trying to suck each last millimeter of performance out of the car. Lewis has been cracking the whip. George is nice. But they're both working with all our team from top to bottom for making big leaps forward now. We've been loving the way the Red Bulls seemingly are fucked. They can't wait to watch Christian squirm about it. They're leaving the door open for our drivers to maintain a real shot at the championships. We're certainly not worried about Ferrari. They have had a good spell of luck, but no way baby boy Charles can keep it up, and the team always likely finds ways to lose eventually when it counts. So they're on our radar, but only faintly. At the end of the day, guys, we've beat ourselves so far. The off-season, we spent more time with the lawyers than the engineers trying to get the championship back from Max. But we've since moved on, and remembering that we're a waste team and not the legal team of lawyers, now we will be improving our season onward from here. So thanks, guys. All the best.
All right, man. On to race recap here. A whole lot of shit happened. You know, you came out at one point, you tweeted, and I thought you were really just sort of recency bias. You said, can you name a more exciting first three races of any season in the last decade? I thought, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? And then I realized when I looked back at all of the recaps, because I didn't remember much of what happened, you're pretty much spot on. We had another just nonstop from practices through qualifying through the race. It was jam-packed with shit happening everywhere.
If this is the most boring race of the season, we are going to be blessed. And yeah. I know there were some people that said, oh, we're back to boring racing. Well, I guess you weren't around 2018, 2019.
True. I guess so. Start with practice only seems to make sense. A few things. We talked last week how they had, for this track renovation that they'd done, that they'd gone up to four DRS zones. They came back after, I think it was after first practice, and said, nope, only three DRS zones is too dangerous. All the drivers said, that's crock of shit. It was much more dangerous last week in Saudi with that racetrack, or the DRS zones at that racetrack were much more dangerous. So we ended up only having three DRS zones. Practice, everybody's flying off it. I believe it was turn 11. Nobody seemed to be able to get that new corner down, the apex down. So they're all sliding off. But highlight for me, the FIA came and made themselves a bad guy again. Sebastian Vettel's car shits out. He sort of is left with a scooter, thinking the guy's going to give him a ride back or jump on the back of the scooter. He doesn't. Vettel does the Vettel thing and drives the scooter down the racetrack, waving like he's fucking the queen to all of his people. Everybody's going nuts. The FIA said $5,000 fine.
They're worried about safety. So bombs are okay, but don't you dare take a Vespa.
Be careful. The bombs have to be outside of a 5-mile radius. They can be 5 to 7 miles is okay, but if they're inside 5 miles, I'm sure they would have shut it down.
Well, fuck me for not knowing that.
Right? Practice, yes. Seth, that was the start of a shit weekend for Seth. Anything else that stuck out for you to practice? The McLarens looked fucking fantastic out of nowhere, which was nice. Gave you a bit of hope that maybe we'd get a shoey.
I was sporting my Ricciardo shirt all week, so I was really pleasantly surprised by the turnaround they had. I thought that they might be going down an Aston Martin route, which I'll get into a little bit later. But what a nice, refreshing bit of news, their practice session.
Qualifying. It was fucking jam-packed. What stuck out to you? Because there was something in qualifying. I'll get to it towards the end here. But there was something in qualifying that made me almost as happy as Georgie's podium.
The biggest thing for me, for the guy that chose Carlos Sainz to be the World Drivers Champion this year, to see his hot lap ruined. The biggest thing, that so many things going on. All right, so what did you ask him? What's it?
All right, so we're back. Hopefully Skidmark Steve's got his shit together. He's feeling the pressure of Lucas towering over him and possibly the end of his podcast career. And let me just say, he is acting like Bottas under pressure right now.
I really am. This will make my wife love me even more. So there is the upside of getting replaced. But the biggest thing for me that stood out was Carlos Sainz and how bad his qualifying was. I know he had a really great lap time taken away, but he just performed like shit.
Yeah. No, he did. I think he was looking for every excuse to blame everybody else. But I really, he didn't look good.
And we said it last week. It usually takes him a little while to get going. So I still have hope, but this was not a good week if you're a Sainz guy like myself.
So moving forward, George Russell or Sainz? Who do you think better there?
I'm going to still stick with Sainz. You can't just go after 3 weeks. But yeah, your pick's looking fucking solid.
We had some more Latifi action. Latifi again crashes for like the fourth or fifth race in a row, or qualifying right race weekend in a row. What did you think of this? Because at first you want to shit on Latifi, but Stroll, your Canadian boy.
I don't even know if that's my Canadian boy, because I'm getting a little tired of his ass too. But definitely not Latifi's fault per se. I'll give it 80-20 because it looked like he was allowing people to go by and then he just takes off. But this clown is involved in every major catastrophe since lap 58 last year. I mean, I think somebody pointed out to me that he hasn't had a clean race from start to finish since then.
I think it was even the week before then. I think he crashed too. So you're going to the penultimate race of last season. So five races, five fuck-ups, or at least over the course of the weekend fuck-ups, right? I don't know if they've all been in the race, but qualifying, practice, sometime he shits the bed.
And it's also a known fact for Stroll from, you don't check your side mirrors when you drive.
You just say sorry and you hit somebody.
Exactly. So I don't think you could put any of this on Stroll.
So you know what I thought was weird? The weirdest thing about this is usually these commentators are pretty, you know, straight and narrow. They don't really, you know, assert blame on one driver or the other. I don't know which one of the commentators it was, but he was almost accusing Stroll of doing that purposefully. Like Stroll looked in his mirror, saw him, and still hit him. I thought that was interesting. If you go back and listen to the live broadcast of that, at first they thought it was just Latifi being Latifi. Then they watched the whole sequence where basically Latifi slows down. He thinks Stroll's on a hot lap. Stroll goes by him, but obviously isn't on a hot lap. Latifi speeds up to go around the outside of him. And Stroll, they're saying, is looking in his mirror when he hits into Latifi. So
that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense unless there's some kind of anger or something that happened earlier on in the lap.
Why would you risk your car for that?
You're a spoiled little billionaire Canadian. I don't know.
That's true. I don't know what that's like, but maybe in my next life.
Yeah. I mean, Danny runs the team, so.
That's true.
What is he going to do? Kick you off? A bit fun Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
More Latifi fuck-ups. You know who I felt worse for this entire week from qualifying? Alonso. That man was flying. It looked like he was on track for provisional pole. He thought, you know, there's still a few laps left to go in Q3, but he figured he would have been fighting for a top three at worst starting position.
He had two purple sectors going into that lap.
It was one of those laps of all laps, right? Not his fault at all that he didn't get to finish it. It looks like the Alpine car, which has had a few engine troubles, basically said, you're pushing me too hard. Steering wheel died on him.
It was gear four, and he was trying to get down to gear three, right?
Something like that, and he didn't do it. He lost the ability to turn. He went into the wall. So, yeah, he started 10th. But he was looking like he was going to be, it's hard to say, right? He was going to have provisional pole, but who knows if that would have been beat. But you got to give him top three probably starting with how fucking amazing. Damn it, I swore. I think that's my first.
We'll have to go back and count, but it reminded me of George Russell's lap in Spa in qualifying.
Yes, it was that level of good. Or even Max in Jeddah last year before he hit the wall, where you're just blown away by it. Yeah, he did not get very lucky there. I've got one more thing on qualifying to cover, unless you got something else that stuck out to you.
You may address this, but what you're going to talk about, does it have anything to do with Mercedes?
No, it has to do with a streak somebody began while they were at Mercedes.
For me, qualifying, one of the biggest takeaways besides signs sucking is the Mercedes power units outside Aston Martin didn't look too bad. If you look at McLaren and...
Yeah, McLaren and Mercedes were on the starting grid. They were 4 through 7.
So they're making improvements, both teams.
Now to what was quite honestly my second favorite and would have been my favorite if Georgie had come fourth. My second favorite part of the weekend. Valtteri Bottas' streak of 103 straight appearances in Q3 is over. And is done with mediocrity. In the fastest car should not be, you know, applauded. I think we were watching it with your wife. She was trying to tell me it was like Ayrton Senna and somebody else.
She did not. put those names together.
No, she didn't. And I think she's like the only.
You don't even remember the only, that night.
Oh, I remember. I will remember a fight over Bottas. She said there's only three drivers in the history that had basically gone as long as he had with a Q3 streak. One of them was Senna. I forget who the other one was.
Is that factually correct?
I don't know. I'm going to take her word for it, and I'm just going to let her know that he's no longer part of that club, and he never deserves to be mentioned with such greats.
I hate you so much right now. I hate you so much right now.
I hope your Wednesday is fantastic when this comes out. Tell me Bottas should be named in the same regard as Ayrton Senna.
I wish I was traveling for work this week.
That's all. I just had to get my weekly Bottas dig in. He finds a way to just provide for me week in, week out. It's, you know, that's the great thing about sports is like you can root so hard for somebody like I do for Georgie, and that's so much fun. And then you can root against somebody. It can be just as much fun. So thank you, Bottas, for providing me with some fun this weekend. And thank you, Georgie.
He's still driving his shit out of an Alfa Romeo that shouldn't even be in competition. So,
yeah, no, outside of the points this week, you're right. Great.
He got points this week, fuckface.
Did he?
I'm only saying that.
Qualified 12th. He finished 8th. You're right.
I'm doing this for not stolen valor. I'm doing this to make sure I keep getting laid. So.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do my best to ruin that for you. Let's jump into the race. First thing that stood out to me, signs from the whole start of the race. He started 9th. I'm not meaning to shit on your boy, Erie.
You're just shitting on me all year. You're shitting on my marriage. Shitting on my race. You're shitting on my podcasting skills. You're just taking a dump on me. You're doing a Dutch oven on me right now.
You got to step your game up, dude. Sainz started 9th, fell to 14th before running off into the gravel and burying his car on lap 2. That's all I was going to say.
Fucking hate you, man.
It's okay.
I mean, I still love you, but yeah, it's a love-hate relationship right now.
You know, should have picked Georgie.
Mm.
Verstappen, power units of Red Bull, shitting out again. What you think to that?
What did I say this year? Reliability is going to be a major storyline throughout the season. We had 2017 when Red Bull had, I don't know, Max Verstappen, I think, had like 6 DNFs that year. Maybe we're having one of those again this year. So far, it's looking like it. But it's weird, though, because all three other Red Bull cars, AlphaTauri and Perez, didn't have issues. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, karma. Very interesting.
It is. And you know what I'm really loving, too, is Max came out, he said there's no solution. They don't know what to do, basically, which I enjoyed. You've also got some pundits now, you know, F1 media types, really questioning whether or not Red Bull had the knowledge to take on basically running their own power unit division, essentially becoming a manufacturer instead of a customer team, which I love just because it's shitting on him. I don't know.
It's Red Bull on name only. They kept most of the engineers, they kept the manufacturers Honda had. The key people are still there.
But they only have like a year with them, right? With Honda basically giving them the tutoring experience. And then, yeah, they'll keep some of the people probably.
A lot of the same people, if you go look at it. And Lucas said last week, the man that had more knowledge than anybody that my wife and your girlfriend think they're the best podcaster of all time, said Red Bull. And
bitter.
I'm a bitter bitch. You're making me a bitter bitch today.
Either way, it's great that their power units are shit in the bed the first year they take over, whatever degree of takeover that has been. And the reason why I'm loving it so much is I'm hoping they continue to shit the bed and somehow that scares Porsche into going with a different team, teaming up with Audi, taking McLaren, doing anything but being a Red Bull team so I can continue to be a Porsche fan.
I see your motives there, but I'd still need Red Bull in this whole entire race, and I hope they get it together because a three-way battle. Like I said, it was the best threesome I've ever had last week. The only at least threesome I've ever had, but it was pretty good. I need a three-way battle for the top team.
I would like that too. Interesting this week, right? Both Max and Carlos, two of the top 4 cars, didn't finish. That could be pretty big when you come down to the end of this thing, depending on how close we get.
That's true.
Anything else race-wise you think we should talk through before we jump into bottom feeder and top dogs?
Alex Albon.
I was planning on talking about him and my top dogs.
What he did and accomplished, getting the points when his radio came on, said he got P11, joking around. That was an outstanding drive. So shout out Williams. The midfield battle was clutch and exciting.
Dude, they've done it. Whatever they've done with these regs, it's fantastic. Race to race, we have no idea. Like McLaren being up where they were, right? Alpine's been in the mix the whole time. You get a Williams car up there. AlphaTauri not looking like the strong midfield team they were last year, comparatively speaking. It's,
you know, I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, every week, like, good luck picking where everybody's going to finish. It's fantastic, and it's good racing, too.
I guess the other major takeaway is Latifi does not deserve a fucking seat. Get that man out of F1.
I had his back, too, all through last year. I was reading all these articles, probably most of them pumped out by Williams, that essentially said, if you looked at how close he was to George Russell, especially over the second half of last season, he really was, you know, he was doing fantastic and a lot better than people expected. But you, I mean, five fuck-ups, you're right. Even if you're, damn it, I did it again. Five mess-ups, and you're right. Like, at some point, whether or not you're the direct cause, you're always there. You're always in him. And he must have, at this point, we'll have to look at the facts, but he must have taken over for Schumacher as the most expensive driver.
Expensive driver. He has to have. And when your daddy's not a billionaire owner of a team, good luck keeping that seat, especially when you have Oscar
Piastri
sitting on the sidelines, or Nick DeFries or whatever sitting on the sidelines. So for the people that just started watching F1, Oscar won F2 last year. Nick DeFries, I think he probably won F2 as well, but he won Formula E last year.
Did he?
He won Formula E.
Okay. He's a young Mercedes driver. I know Piastri. He's
with Alpine right now as a backup driver. I don't know if he's assigned to anybody. I thought he was a Mercedes. I
was podcasting with a better podcaster last week, and he said, you know, anybody's contract can be bought out. So ultimately, either of those drivers could be bought out and brought on to replace Latifi.
That man sounds like a genius. He brings a lot more credibility than us two fuckheads do.
Speak for yourself, dude. Speak for yourself. You're the one struggling pretty hard over here today.
I don't think I'm struggling at all. I think I'm bringing the dynamite. Boom.
Boom. There you go. Let's go bottom feeders and top dogs. You want to go teams or drivers first?
Let's go teams. I think we have more to talk about with drivers.
Okay, your bottom feeders for teams. Who you got?
Aston Martin. You spend so much money acquiring engineers from Mercedes and Red Bull. You think your ROI is going to be amazing with how much money you put into this team, Mr. Stroll. But then your overwhelming asshole presence drove off probably one of the best principals in the game. And now you're ruining Sebastian Vettel's twilight career. So Aston Martin's right there. Next for me is Haas. I love Haas this year. They're America's team again. Shout out Logan at Barstool Sports. All Haas, no gas. No, I don't know what the fuck the shirt says, but it's a good looking shirt. Anyway, this week didn't show up. And then Red Bull. Verstappen deserves to have a great car. I may shit on him, I call him the Dutch oven, but you're giving one of the best premier racers to ever grace the circuit a horrible car this year.
Well, an unreliable car. It's a great car. It just doesn't finish half the time.
Well, depending on if you're Russell, it's a horrible car. If you're Horner, it's a great car. But either way, they're not bringing it. And I need Verstappen in the battle.
So I debated putting Red Bull in there, right, because of Verstappen. But with Checo doing his job, coming second, which is probably right where he should come with Max and Sainz out, I left them out. The only bottom feeder for me this week was Aston Martin. 100% agree. It's been horrendous. Not what we expected. Hopefully they can turn it around, because it would be good to see that British green up there fighting, at least in the middle of the midfield. But it's, you know, between Stroll, it's just an absolute mess. Moving on, man. Who you got for top teams?
Mercedes. That's my top team. Perfect execution of strategy, which they did horrible last year, in my opinion. Might help that they have a second driver. That's amazing. But put it all together, they outdrove the car this week. Outperformed with strategy.
You know, I don't know if you could, you know, maybe they outperformed McLaren. McLaren looked fast at times during the weekend, at least in sort of qualifying. I'm not sure about race pace, but what Mercedes has done really, really well while they are behind the eight ball here is they've been where they should be.
You position yourself to take advantage of opportunities.
Well, right. Like, okay, so for example, we lost a Ferrari, we lost a Red Bull this race. So Mercedes is right there 3-4 when they should be 5-6, just based on cars alone. So I'm with you. They had a great weekend all the way around. They did fantastic. It's fantastic, too, to see, and this is a little bit of my homerism coming in, but Russell and Hamilton are pretty damn close in that car.
They really are, and it just shows you what happens when you have a whole great team. not just one good driver.
Yeah. So basically, you're cheating on Bottas without shitting on Bottas because you don't want your wife to get
married. I cannot confirm or deny. My second top team this week is Ferrari. They did what they needed to do with Leclerc.
I don't think you can blame them for Sainz either.
I don't. I think that falls entirely on Sainz. I will still choose him as my driver's champion.
Bit of bad luck. Bit of bad luck for Sainz. There's no doubt about that.
He just didn't look good this whole weekend.
Yeah.
And then Williams, you took a bold strategy with Albon and it paid off and you got points. I was so happy to see Williams get points. I love their principle. I love Albon. Outside of their horrible second driver that doesn't deserve a seat, it's hard not to be happy for Williams.
Yep. No, I agree. I didn't have Williams in there. I did have Ferrari in there. Who I have, which I'm surprised you're missing, is McLaren.
Oh, shit. No, I did have them. I had four teams this week. I just typed in all caps and my blind ass didn't see it for some reason. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Fantastic. I mean, qualifying, right? You had Lando in fourth. You had Ricardo in seventh. They gave you some hope that if two of the top cars didn't finish, maybe one of them would be able to sneak in there. Mercedes stopped them from doing that. But as far as finishing results there, Lando in fifth, Daniel in sixth, double points, big gap for them. So yeah, I had McLaren, Ferrari.
What a bounce back. They looked abysmal. They looked as if they were on the path.
So they're going back and forth, right? And Lando keeps saying it's a track thing, right? It's track to track with them. A couple more races like this, I'm going to say he's full of shit.
I think he's full of shit already.
Yeah, I mean, could be, right? They were absolutely horrendous first race of the season, pulled it back together in the second, and then third one, looking pretty damn good. So hopefully, you know, we both said favorite teams, one of our favorite teams. Hopefully we see that continue. Would have been awesome if Ricardo could have somehow got an extra, well, it'd be an extra 30 seconds on his race and third place in a shoey, but we'll hold out for later on that one.
He got points, so I was super excited for that.
All right, man. Bon Peters for drivers.
Number one, Sainz.
I'm with you 100%. Well, I'm not with you. Go ahead. Sainz is my number two. I got somebody else at number one.
Number two is Stroll. He's just reckless out there. He had a careless weekend, but you can't blame the looking at the side mirrors on him, because where he's from, you just say sorry. And Latifi, just for existing, for breathing.
I got one better for you. Sebastian Vettel is in my bottom feeders. I don't like putting him there. He's fantastic, but and it really, like, it probably isn't even mostly, well, it was his fault, but so here's how his weekend went. You had the car shit out on him in the first practice, which this is his first race of the year because he had COVID, right? Practice one, car shits out on him. Practice two, he's got to sit out because they're still repairing the car from practice one. Practice three, he goes ahead and has, and they give him the scooter penalty too, right, for driving the scooter. And then practice three, he crashed. They then rush to try and get the car ready for qualifying. They do get it ready for qualifying, and he comes in 18th, and then he finishes the race with a DNF.
Hell of a weekend. Hell of a weekend.
Like, you can't get any worse than that. You can't.
It's could be Carl Sainz in a Grand Prix winning car.
Yeah, but
the Aston Martin wasn't going to do anything anyway. He might have gotten 13th or 14th.
He might have got 13 or 14 laps in the whole weekend.
That's Aston Martin for you.
Yeah, I guess.
It's chaos over there right now, man.
Top dogs. I'm going to lead off with a guy you talked about, Alex Albon. He is my number one for this weekend. So qualifying, I think he was like 16th, which wasn't anything special, but they tried to take a fuel sample from him at the end of the race, and there wasn't enough fuel, so he got bumped to the bottom of the grid, so he starts 20th. This was a 58-lap race. He goes 57 laps before pitting, bold strategy, pits, and finishes in 10th to get Williams their only point so far of the season. They now have 1 point over the season, which puts them 1 point above Aston Martin.
Would you thought you would have ever said that out loud? Based off of money spending and everything going on, Aston Martin's budget.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, no, I absolutely would not have expected to put Aston Martin 0 points through three races this year.
You got a four-time world champion.
Granted, they've only had him once, right? They had the Hulk in there to replace him for COVID.
No, but I'm just talking about in general.
Yeah.
And then Lance Stroll is a capable driver at times. He got podium with Williams back in 2016 or 17, maybe 18, but either way, that team just looks like a dumpster fire. Cannot agree with you more on Albon's placement.
Number two, I got Leclerc. Just, I mean, the kids looked absolutely fantastic.
Did you copy my list?
Baby boy Charles Leclerc. Baby boy Charles Leclerc. I'm glad we got a nickname for him because we didn't have one. Baby boy Charles Leclerc is pretty good. I like it. So we're going to roll with Toto's baby boy Charles Leclerc for number two. Just, I mean, dominating, right? Like the only time he was really under pressure was
that restart.
The restart. And then when Max was coming out of the pits and he closed the door fantastically on and took the line, he was good to go.
He's running laps, well, I mean, figuratively and literally around Sainz right now.
Yeah, this weekend, definitely. This weekend, definitely. My favorite thing is I think he's unbreakable by the Max voodoo.
What do you think? So now he's gotten two wins this year, and where he stands in the Drivers' Championship, do they make Sainz the Checo, or is it too early?
So I think it's too early, and even Ferrari came out and said they are not managing the championship yet, the way they intended that was they aren't managing the races to make sure they're safe and they win, right?
Okay.
But there's another way to take managing the championship, which is essentially if they're going to do that, they're managing Charles Leclerc's lead on the championship, right? They said they're not doing that yet. I believe them. We're three races in. We got 20 left. You know, there's a long, long time to go here. I mean, if you look right now, as far as constructor standings, they've got a healthy 40-point lead, basically, over Mercedes, of all people. 50 points on Red Bull and driver standings. Leclerc has 71 points. Russell's got 37. So he's building a big gap, but how many times did we see that shit switch last year with Max and Lewis? Like, big swings, 30-point swings, right?
That's true. Same question, Red Bull. But it's Horner, and he's in love with the Dutch oven.
Yeah, well, and you've also, it's only a
few. I think they let Checo race.
Oh, I thought you were going a different route. Do they start protecting Perez with Verstappen?
No.
That'll never happen. No, but I think they'll let him race. Yeah, it's too early, right, to put in any rules. It's too close. If anybody's got a reason to do it, it is Ferrari at this point. But I still think, like, we had, with five races left last year, I think it was about a 30-point difference between Lewis and Max.
Yep.
And, you know, if things had gone...
Baku magic button.
Well, then it's not just the last five races, right? With the Massey incident, Lewis would have come back and won from 30-something points behind. So I think you're way too far ahead. One, to give Leclerc the feeling that he's safe with that lead. And two, to even, you know, Leclerc has one DNF. Carlos Sainz comes first. They're
right there,
15 points away. So do you have a third?
It's about being in the right place at the right time. I've always said this. It's making sure you take advantage of your opportunities. And there's one man that did that this weekend. He got podium for the first time with Mercedes.
Georgie!
That's all I heard that night. That's all I heard from your drunk ass. But yeah. Georgie was my number three driver this week.
Dude, he has been in that shitty car. It's almost like all that Williams training is paying off where he just knows how to get the best out of not the best. You know what I mean? He did phenomenal in qualifying. It looked like he may have got one over on Lewis. Lewis came back, did qualify in front of him, but by a slight margin. I am so happy with what we're seeing from this kid. And depending on how things go, you know, we got a week off this week. Then we're off to Imola, and Imola is when not just Mercedes, quite a few teams are expecting to bring their major upgrades. So who knows what will happen after that, but Russell has put himself in position. Mercedes has put themselves in position. Now it's up to what can these engineers back at Brackley do to give them the car to go chase down the Ferraris and the Red Bulls when they work.
Can't agree more with that statement.
That's about it. Well, no, one more thing. Georgie!
God.
Oh, it's so fun, dude. I hope I'm yelling that the rest of this year.
It's like nails on a chalkboard when your drunk ass is yelling at during a race.
Let's go ahead and we'll take, before we close things down here, we'll take a cue from the best podcaster I've ever worked with, and we will plug ourselves for...
Fuck you. Fuck you.
For Twitter, if you want the TSP Twitter handle, it's @TSP the F1 podcast for our main account. For myself, No Rubber, it is at F1 No Rubber underscore TSP. And Skidmark, being the great podcaster that he is, does not remember his, but his is at F1 Steve underscore TSP. Now, what we have also done, we do have an Instagram under the at TSP, the F1 podcast. And what we've done to try and make Skidmark Steve just sort of add some level of value to this is we've had him start our TikTok. Do you know what the TikTok you created is called?
The same fucking name on every other Instagram, Twitter handle, whatever. The one even mentioned
me. At TSP, the F1 pawn. Fuck me, Lucas. Please tell me you're listening. Give me a call. We can massy this motherfucker out of here. That's all I got.
Oh, did you fucking win any money last week, fuckface?
First win, losing money with No Rubber. First official win with Charles Leclerc on the poor person bet. Yeah. Yeah, we won. And my second place bet was for Perez, I believe. And Perez came second. So I had 1-2. I had my safe pick 1. I had my risky pick 2.
This motherfucker is coming here talking about professionalism. He can't even remember his own segment where he won money. What a fucking amateur.
I was going to bring it up next week.
No.
Let the people know when we're doing the next Losing Money with No Rubber that we are on a longer streak of goodness than you ever have been at podcasting.
No, it gets the people going when they know they got juiced up, baby.
Limped out. Get juiced up. You got anything else, babe?
Nope.
We're going to love you and leave you.
Peace. Catch up, bitch. I'm in gear 3. Zoom. Don't see ya. Peace.